Amen. Praise the Lord. Today we still still in the same direction of healing, but it's just in a different light. And I'm believing God that this is just the today's teaching or preaching is to assist us in scaling through life challenges unbothered. Hallelujah. In quotes. You see, listen up, everybody. Listen. Okay, if you want to title the message, you can title it How to Control Your Mind. How to Control Your Mind, or Getting Out of Your Mind, or you know, whatever. Praise God. You see, listen, everybody. If you don't know how to control your mind, Satan is an expert in permanently keeping people sad. Understand this. Satan is an expert in permanently, constantly keeping people sad. I don't want to use you. I don't want to say he's an expert in keeping you sad. Okay, I don't want to use you, okay? But in people. Because as we do the teaching, it's good so that we control our tongue, so that we don't prophetically, you know, induce some things. But understand that Satan does this. He knows how to do it. And if you don't know how to control your mind, you get yourself in the box where you're getting, you know, individuals are getting defeated daily. Oftentimes, you get yourself defeated. Sometimes, you see, when some of us make bold statements and say, oh, we cannot be this, we cannot be depressed, we cannot be this, those bold statements are not from the standpoint of pride or self-pride. Okay, I'm not trying to be braggadocious about it. So it's not like I'm trying to, you know, brag about certain self-ability. No. The entire concept, when you say, well, I cannot be depressed, okay, the entire concept is coming from the substance of Christ. It's not coming from the substance of self. Because if you take Christ out of the equation, the possibility of experiencing such depression or such, you know, mind oppression is possible when you take Christ out of the equation. Am I communicating to us here? So we have to understand how to control our mind. Because if you don't learn how to control your mind, listen up, everybody. If you don't learn how to control your mind, the devil will control it. Because by default, everything after the fall of Adam, by default, everything goes towards corruption. Everything. Everything. And I told us some time ago, if you take an object, probably an iron, you expose it outside for days or for months, and you come back there, you won't meet it the same way you dropped it. It would have, you know, rusted. It would have rusted by the time you return there. Because everything tends toward corruption. If you leave your mind, for example, if you leave your mind and you don't give your mind what to think, your mind will start thinking things. You start thinking things that are ungodly. If you just leave your mind, and sometimes some people say, well, it's not, you know, it is me. And sometimes when you talk to individuals, they say, well, it is me. That's where I am made. No. If you refuse to give your mind what to think, your mind will start thinking things. Ungodly thoughts. And the world outside there is not helping. You go on Facebook, go on Twitter, go on social media, go outside. There are informations, there are lots of informations everywhere. Informations everywhere, informations. So the Bible says in Proverbs 4, it says, guard your heart diligently. For why? He said, for out of it comes what? The issues of life. Look at that. Let's go there. I'm not supposed to start there, but we'll start. Proverbs in chapter 4. You can just take this scripture, Proverbs and chapter 4. You can take this scripture and just, you know, meditate on it again and again. Proverbs and chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs 4, 23. I want us to read it together. Proverbs and chapter 4, verse 23. 1, 2, go. It says, keep your heart, for out of it springs the issues of life. Out of it, keep your heart with all diligence. You know what that means? You know when he said with all diligence, he said keep your heart with all diligence. With all diligence. It means you're very disciplined in keeping your heart. It's not a shabby exercise. It's not something that you will do. You know, it's not something that you wish. It's your responsibility. This is not God's responsibility. This is your responsibility. God has done all he needed to do. Your responsibility is to keep your heart with all diligence. Why? Because out of it comes the issues of life. Whatever goes in will come out. Information is spreading everywhere. You see information. If you want discouragement, you see discouragement everywhere. I'm going there. How to control your mind so that Satan don't control it. Hallelujah. Because it's also part of the healing process. If we talk about healing of the body, we should also emphasize the healing of our minds. Because people actually have legitimate issues. I mean, when I mean legitimate, I'm talking about life issues. People have it. I'm a pastor. I get to talk to us, to everybody, to one-on-one individuals. People have issues they go through. Some people have issues that they don't want to talk to anybody about it. They're actually going through pains and difficult times. But the truth is, sometimes when you say something like, for example, I cannot be depressed. Sometimes, you look at, is my own Christianity different? I have gone through episodes. Of all kinds of emotional, ups and downs and all. But one time, I was just praying about it. I said, see, I think it's important that we also help ourselves to see indeed. We just reemphasize the same thing, the same concept. Hallelujah. God wants you to rule and reign in life. Amen. God wants you to rule and say this to me. Say, God wants me to rule and reign in life. Yes, he does. He wants you to rule and reign. See, that's why. See, let me say this to you. Thank you for the poem and for the thank you so much. Thank you so much for the poem. You see, the thing is, okay, whatever, we'll enjoy it now. Amen. Amen. We will not wait till you. Amen. Praise God. No, I understand the concept. The concept he's talking about is the judgment seat. Yeah. Where we'll be rewarded according to our works. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Yes, the Bible says we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and receive. That is not. Those that we appear before the judgment of Christ are believers, not unbelievers. Unbelievers will not appear before the judgment seat of Christ. It believers that we appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive what? Reward. Amen. Salvation is not a reward. For preaching the gospel, I'm going to mention some of these things. For preaching the gospel, for being diligent in committed to the growth of people's life, we will be rewarded. If through your life many are falling, amen. I will not say you will not be rewarded. I will not say you will have reward. You will not have reward. Yeah, you will not have reward. That's what I will say. Amen. That your life, people are motivated to pray. Amen. People are motivated to a consecrated lifestyle. You'll be rewarded. That you are persecuted for the gospel. Amen. You'll be rewarded. So the judgment seat of Christ is not the same thing as, the random or the judgment. Amen. But I'm talking about reward. So all of us shall be rewarded. So that's why I understand that's what the poem. Let's celebrate him. Thank you so much. Thank you. So that's what I understand the concept. But if we're talking about where healing, enjoying life and everything, amen. How we enjoy. I desire to enjoy it now. Amen. He said this. He said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Another version says, I've come that you might enjoy life and enjoy more abundantly. God wants you to be well. God wants you to enjoy life. Amen. God does not want you to go through life, with all these emotional damages every now and then. He said, well, we're just pushing it one day. We'll go to heaven. See, let me tell you, everybody, listen to me loud and clear. There is no, there's no adventure in heaven. Amen. Amen. Oh. Sometimes I make some statements, but it's true. It's Bible. There is no what? Adventure. If a man dies now and he goes to heaven, there is no adventure. There is no, look at it, is in this life, that you are having adventure, that sickness is coming, you are winning it. If you die now and you go to heaven, there is no sickness to win. There is no challenges you are winning. You know, it is when you know the thrill of winning every day. The Bible says we triumph daily. We triumph every day. Amen. You know, you finish. It's like saying that, for instance, you finish your medical program. Woo, I finish. Next one, master's. Woo, I finish. I'm saying that even man die now. If people die now and they go to heaven, there's no challenge. So it's just there. You are just there. You don't say, ah, it's there. Why are you white? Titi, listen, everybody. Listen. Amen. Are we together, everybody? The only expectation of those who have died in Christ now and are in heaven, they are expecting that they will be clothed upon by the new body. Amen. Holy Spirit, help me. Are we together, everybody? Yeah. The Bible says the earnest expectation of the creatures are waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. What is that manifestation? The redemption of his body. When a man, listen, this is not the message, but I just went sideways. In heaven, people that died now in Christ, they are waiting that they will take up a new body. Because when Jesus comes the second time, our bodies will be changed. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming back again. Can I get an amen to that? Yes. Yes. You know, some places, when they hear that Jesus is coming back again, what can we do now? The Bible says, comfort ye one another with this word. When the Bible talks about the second coming of Jesus, anytime the Bible talks about the second coming of Jesus, it will say, comfort one another with this word. This is not the message, but I'm going somewhere. The message of Jesus' second coming was preached to those who are about to give up. So that they are encouraged again. Yeah, yes, it's coming. Our body will be changed. Amen. Yeah. It's a message of joy. Yeah. Hey, you know, I'm telling you, I've heard the second coming of Jesus before. They say, second coming of Jesus. Jesus is not coming back again as a savior, as a king. Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's coming for the church that he has died for. That is you and I. Glory to God. He says, comfort, look at it. Maybe let's go there. We will digress and come back. 1 Thessalonians. Let's just pick 1 Thessalonians. Many to pick. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He says this. He says, verse 17. He says, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Verse 18. Let's read 18 together. Want to go? Therefore what? It's a message of comfort. You know what they mean by comfort? Comfort one another. I can go on and on. There are many plenty scriptures there. The thing is this. Let me say this to you. Everybody listen. Everybody that died in Christ now, die in heaven. Naked. Someone say, ha. It's either maybe you are new. I repeat again. Anybody that died in Christ, die in heaven now. Anybody who died in Christ, anybody that dies in Christ is in heaven now. Anybody that died believing Christ is in heaven. But is in heaven what? Naked. You are on earth. You are not naked. You have a body. The body you have is a frail body. That's what the Bible calls it. It's a frail body, weak body. The only person in Zion now that has a body, the glorified body, is Jesus. Are we together here? The only person in Zion that has a glorified body is Jesus. So we have two families. One family is in heaven. One family on earth. But we will all be one. And so we are waiting for Jesus to come. So what is the expectation? The expectation of those who are in heaven, they are expecting that. So it's like, look at it. They are in heaven together with Jesus. All of them are naked. Jesus is not naked. Imagine it. Look here. 2 Corinthians. Today we are supposed to talk about something else. You are leading me. It's by the Spirit too. 1 Corinthians 5. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, sorry. 2 Corinthians 5. If you're there, say Jesus is Lord. 2 Corinthians 5. He says, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, the body, yeah, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hand, eternal in the heaven. For in this one, we groan earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. So what is our earnest desire now? I repeat, what should be your earnest desire? To be clothed with the building that is in heaven. We're building, talk about this body. The Bible says your body is the temple. So our earnest desire now is that our building, look at it, let's keep reading now. Let's keep reading. He said, if indeed, having been clothed, we shall not what? Be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up of life. Now, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God. What is the very thing? That there will be a change. So when he said Jesus is coming back again, it's not about hell and heaven. You get your mind. It's not again about, it's about when Jesus comes that my body will be changed. So that's why the guy said, we that are alive and remain, we shall be cut off, we will change. He said, comfort one another with this word. What kind of comfort will, see how heavy that comfort will be. Knowing that, so when Jesus would come, my body will be changed. The only person in the church now, because when Jesus rose from the dead, he rose with what? With a new glorified body. That's why he told them, he said, touch me. He said, this is flesh and bone. Not flesh and blood, flesh and bone. He ate fish with them. He didn't resurrect as a spirit. He resurrected as a body. And we will all partake of that body. Amen. You will all partake. Those who died now in Christ, they just went to heaven. Their body is decaying, their body on earth. Everybody is decaying there. So they went as a spirit in heaven. Spirit in heaven. So the only ambition for any saint in heaven now, the only ambition is that Jesus, come, go now. Go now. Go. Let's have clothes. If you read, that's the only ambition is go. Because everyone wants to have what Jesus has. That's why the Bible says, look at it. 1 John. Huh. Amen. Amen. Are we together here? Yes, 1 John 3. Anytime they're teaching about heaven, heaven or hell, judgment seat of Christ. It's a sign that the person, it's a psychiatric problem. What do you believe? What are you believing? In Jesus. He died for our sins, rose again on the third day. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And his resurrection. The Bible says, if we are saved by his death, then we shall be saved again by his life. Everything about Jesus saved us. His death saved us. Going to the hell saved us. Resurrection from the dead. And we will all share of all his experiences. We must share. It's a must. If whether you like it or not, look at me like it's the most we will share. Somebody say, I will share. You will share. Hallelujah. Just imagine that joy that you wake up every morning knowing that you will share. One day I was preaching about the second coming of Jesus about 16 years ago. One brother said, is there any time you talk about Jesus? He's like, he should come tomorrow. I said, yes. Yes, I wish he could come tomorrow, but he won't come tomorrow. There's a reason for that. There's a reason why he won't come tomorrow. Amen. There's a reason why I won't come next month. Brother, nobody knows the time. It's just true. But there are signs.
Yes, sir.
Glory to you. And the signs is revival.
Yes, sir.
All over the world. And the revival is not about one church.
Yes,
it's about saints.
Yes,
it will be happening. I told us. It will not be, Pastor Nife is happening here. Pastor Adeboye is here. No, it will be. Saints are happening everywhere. Saints are happening everywhere. You will be happening. Everybody just happening everywhere. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yeah. It's not, Jesus will not come in the midst of a weak church. Yes. No. He won't come in the midst of a weak church. This time we are still encouraging us to pray. He won't come in the midst of a weak church now. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He is coming in the midst of a strong church. Yes. Church that he died for. He has poured his spirit for. Yes. That's how Jesus is coming. The first time Jesus came, he sent John the Baptist ahead to prepare his way. You think he will just come? Jesus always come in a grand style. He will just come suddenly. He suddenly to the unbeliever. Before he came the first time, John the Baptist was already there, preparing the way. People were baptized. There were signs. There was everywhere. You can see movement. There was movement. How can they describe Jesus coming and say, oh, trumpet will sound. Blah, 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 blah. Jesus will come. I told us he comes in a grand style. We revival, walking in sons and daughters. All over the world. In music, here, anywhere, as a son of God, anywhere you are, in your school, in your business, without collar on your neck, that pastor, evangelist. You know, these days, when you are preaching the gospel, they call you pastor. That's to tell you how decay the society is. Because you are preaching Jesus, they say you are a pastor. Who told you? You know the reason? It's because there's a problem. People are looking for people. There's lack of righteousness. So because there's people, one person is now preaching Jesus. Say, this one is a pastor. No, he's not a pastor. He's just a son of God. He's a son of God. That's what should be. People should say, pastor. No, I'm not a pastor. I'm a child of God. That's where it's supposed to be. You know, that's where, you know, of course, initially, you know, I first drag, you know, I'm not a pastor. I drag it for so many years. Until the Lord says, see, no, don't reject it. I'm serious. Hallelujah. The second coming up, look at, what did I say we should read? Okay, 3 John. No, 1 John 3. Look at it. 1 John 3. He said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it does not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself. What hope? Anyone that has this hope, that when Jesus will come, I will be like him. He said that person automatically purifies himself. Hey, go on. Are you what I'm saying? So people now say something. People are now talking about Jesus. Jesus is not a kalokalo. He said, if you have that hope in you, he said, automatically you are purifying yourself. Just imagine that every day you wake up, you purify. That's the hope, the thought that Jesus, when Jesus come, I will be like him. Even that thought alone, okay, helps you even in your lifestyle, in what you do, how you preach. It's a sign that you are preparing for his coming. I'm not teaching second coming now. Second coming is not what I'm teaching. I'm not teaching second coming. I'm teaching how to control your mind. We just went another way. What did I say we should open before? Proverbs said that we guide your heart with all diligence. For what? Out of it comes what? Issues of life. Diligent may be discipline. Because there's a lot of things going on around every day. Informations are going to your mind. And let me help us a little here. And this will help you. See, the concept of the cross. Amen. The idea of the cross automatically should heal you from self. Really. I'm not saying theory. I'm talking about experientially. Listen, everybody, brothers and sisters. The thought, the meditation of the cross, just cross, like the cross of Jesus, the thought of it should cure you from self. See, listen, the concept that a man is righteous, not by his works, but by what Jesus did on the cross, is that idea is eroding the concept of, see, self is killed. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Yes, okay, maybe you should listen to me for a second. Listen. Before, I thought to myself that I can be righteous by my works, by everything I do. But here comes Jesus and said, hey, you receive the gift of righteousness because of what I have done. So what is he trying to do? He's trying to teach us not to boast in ourselves, but we should boast in him. And if our priority is Jesus and Jesus alone, our mind will be guarded. The reason why there's a lot of things that shakes people's mind is because our priority is not Christ. Amen. Are we together here? I'm not saying you should not want to buy a house, buy a car. I'm saying priority is Christ. When your priority is Christ, your mind will be guarded. I had a privilege to even talk to counselors on people recently. I was this situation that person is going through that I was talking about, this situation you are going through, if Christ is the priority, you will not have the situation. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let us see Isaiah. We'll go somewhere. Let's see Isaiah. Isaiah. I hope you are following everybody. He's still healing. We're talking about healing here. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. He says, okay, let's jump to verse. You know this scripture. I think I've read this scripture several times. Okay, look at verse 8. Isaiah 55 verse 8. Are you there? Isaiah 55 verse 8. Look at what it says. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. Now, listen, everybody, and I told us this before several times, that if you read the scripture, you isolate the scripture, you will be taking things that is not your portion. Okay, look at everybody. Let's go back. I want us to see something. From verse 6. He says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked do what? Let the what? Forsake his way. So who is to forsake his way? Listen, everybody. Who is to forsake his way? Let the wicked forsake his way. And the unrighteous man what? So let him return to the Lord. Now, who is to forsake his thoughts? The unrighteous man. Who is to forsake his ways? Now, in Christ Jesus, are you the wicked? No. Are you the unrighteous? No. So in that same breath, he's saying that, verse 8, now say, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Who is he talking to here? Listen to me now, yeah? Who is he talking to here? The wicked and the unrighteous. He's not talking about you. He's not talking about you. He's not talking about me. He's not telling me that, hey, Nifel forsake you. See, let me tell you this, okay? Because I'm speaking from the standpoint of Christ. Listen, okay? I'm speaking from the standpoint of Christ. And I want us to get something here. Hallelujah. He said, let the wicked what? Forsake his ways. And let the unrighteous forsake what? He said, I will pardon. He said, for my ways are not your ways. And my what? My thoughts are not your thoughts. He said, for as heavens are higher than the earth, so is my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thought. Who is he talking to? The wicked and the what? Is he talking to the saints in Christ? This is very simple. This is not even a bigger. Why? Why is it not? Because the saint has the mind of Christ. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ, and we do hold the thought of his feelings. I'm going somewhere. Why? Listen. He said, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, so do not return, but waters the earth and bring it and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the things which I sent it. Now listen. listen. He said, my word shall what? Prosper in the things wherefore I sent it. Is that what you see? He started by saying, hey, wicked guy, forsake your way. Oh, unrighteous, forsake your thought. Huh? My ways are not your ways. My thought are not your thought. You see, as the heavens is high above the heavens, and this and this, this, so are my ways high above your ways, and my thought above your thought. And I told the wicked, or told everybody, wicked and good, anyone. He said, so shall my word be. So now look at it. He started, listen. He said, my thought are not your thought. Then he now talked about his own thought, his own word. He said, my word shall go forth out of what? My mouth. Because his word are his thought. So my word shall go, it will not return unto me void. It will accomplish what is meant to do. He now said, in our side speaking the word, he said, for you shall go out with joy. That is his word. Listen. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yeah. He said, next one. Okay, yeah. He said, for you shall go out with joy. So now, listen. For me now, as a believer, I'm going to take his word, which I is taught, that I will go out with joy. For I will be led by peace. Mountains and hills shall break forth before me into singing. And all the trees. In other words, I will not see impossibility. He said, the trees of the field shall clap their hands for me. Let me tell you this. In other words, I'm not going to go into an exam or interview thinking, even whatever the case may be, they are the one missing. You use that word. Maybe you don't understand this. See, he said, that guy. He said yes. He said no. You are crying. Amen. You are doing. See, you are picking wicked thoughts. I'm picking the unrighteous thoughts and the righteous way. My point is this. Oh, listen to me. Maybe you didn't get it. So you. Hey. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. Amen. Remember this. Remember. Listen, everybody. Remember. He says, for the weapon of our warfare. 2 Corinthians 10. Is that it? He said, for the weapon of our warfare. Is it warfare or welfare? Okay. God bless you. So it's not welfare. Welfare does not have weapon. He said, for the weapon of our warfare are not carnal. Where is it? 10:4. He said, the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. To the pulling down of what? Strong fortress. Strongholds. Yeah, listen. Casting down imaginations and every thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. So it's a weapon. It's a fight. You have to see, he said, casting down weapon of our warfare. Who will do the weapon? Who will do the fight? Is you. Who will do the casting down? Is you and I. Who will guard our hearts diligently? Is you and I. I'm not going to help you guard your heart. But I can contribute. I'll not say some profane things. I'll not say some unbelieved things that can affect your mind. Amen. You know, for example, a lady who dress around naked, for example, you know, or half naked, or you know, or one quarter naked. And now the thing is, the concept is the same. I'm not saying, see, the concept is this, you know, that one is not assisting in guarding of the mind. Amen. In fact, he's trying his best. So on guard the heart. Hallelujah. I told us about the story of Smith Wigglesworth. Did I mention Smith Wigglesworth was before? Smith Wigglesworth. In his house, he chose that he will not read newspaper. That nobody will bring newspaper to his house. Now, I read news. Amen. But to be honest with you, after you read news, you start quoting scriptures, start meditating on scriptures. You see, bomb blast here. There is this war here. Everyone, there is hatred here. You start renewing your mind that the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm saying sometimes, that's why, to be honest, I won't be emphatic on this. At a point, I understood why Pastor Kumuyi, in those days, said the TV is devil's box. Now, listen. I watch TV. But I'm saying that at a point. I said, You know why? Because they decided that every source of information, The Bible alone will be the source of information. But the issue with that is just that oftentimes people become utterly useless because they are not even understanding what is happening. Because if you go, even if you go to school, listen, if you go to class as a medical student, they teach you diagnosis and diseases. So every now and then, you have, if you, even after you leave that, if you don't renew your mind, you know, if you don't renew your mind well about the healing power of God, that's why, even as you, most of the time, even when we do the physiology, I was like, God is great. Because I have to deliberately renew my mind to explain the science behind how God healed people. And how do I do that? I use the scriptures. Am I communicating to us? Because by the time you see all those diseases, plenty, they tell you that the disease is permanent because it is genetic. Down syndrome is chromosomal and it cannot be healed. So they tell the person that the person will die at so time. It cannot go. So you too. When you see a patient, you as a doctor, they bring down patient, Down syndrome patient, you're already telling them, no, you will not survive, mother. You know, your mind has been informed. What I'm trying to tell us is this. We are in a world where, whether you like it or not, informations are coming to your mind. But the Bible says otherwise. The Bible is not seeing Down syndrome. The Bible is seeing the possibility of the chromosomal change, that it can become normal. I am trying to say. So that's why I'm not, even as a doctor, so you see you are in between many things. You have to be skilled to protect your mind so that you're still very relevant in your field. So one of the things why I do, this is based on a scientific explanation. This is what, but I have another solution. This solution, it is true that from this scientific point, it is impossible. But so there's nothing we can do from now on than to what maintain you. But there's another angle to this thing. How are you trying to say here? Hallelujah. I remember some years ago, I will not do this again. We were in biochemistry class. They were teaching us about ozone layer and greenhouse effect, ozone depletion. And they told us, because we did exam, they said that if there's ozone depletion and all this carbon monoxide that depleted ozone, what will happen to the earth and all those things? Warehouse effect, or is that what they call it? And all those things. What will happen? Me, to be honest, I did not answer that question. I didn't answer that question. Why? Because I have a different answer. My answer is that the Bible says he holds all things by the power of his hand. Until he releases things, nothing will happen. I did not answer it. But I will not be that stupid again. See? Because you know, it's like answer 3 out of 5. Answer 3, that's the question. Answer 4 out of 5, thereabouts. Answer 3. So I knew I was going to pass. So answer 3, the fourth one, which I know well. I know why. But I said, this is a lie. I'll be writing a lie in my own view. You know, let me tell you something. You know why I'm saying this? Listen, I will round up in 5 minutes. I'll round up. You know what I'm trying to say is this. My mind is concluded on one thing alone. God's word. God's word takes supreme over everything. So even if I decide to write you the answer, I know, because you want to mark me, take. But I know, my point is that this one is not supreme over God's word in my mind. Look at what Paul said. Paul said in Philippians, he said, I'm in between two. He said, whether to go or to die. He said, for me, he said to live. He said whether to die. For me to die is gain. To live is Christ. Amen. To live is what? Is Christ. So he's saying that the purpose for living is Christ. Christ is the purpose of living. So let me tell you, even in ministry, there's so many unhealthy vainglory. Paul said something. Paul talked against vainglory. And vainglory is so common even among Christians. Even among ministers, vainglory. Say, that bishop, just that pastor in that church, just bought a Jeep. So you are trying all your best to get a Jeep. Because you are a pastor too. That pastor just got a house. You are trying, it's not only pastor, even individual. Vainglory. Is it good to buy a Jeep? Is it bad to buy a Jeep? No. But you have to question why. Why? Why do you want what you want? Why do you, all these things I want is causing attacks on people's mind. Vainglory. He said, if there's any consolation in the spirit, any bowel of mercy, he said, fulfill ye my joy, that let nothing be done in strife and in vainglory. Hallelujah. Let nothing be done in what? In strife and vainglory. Paul said in Ephesians, he said, be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind. In other words, in the attitude of your mind. Be constantly renewed. Let nothing be done in vainglory. Why are you doing what you are doing? Why? And I want to tell you today, as believers, as Christians, the reason why you should be successful on earth is so that you will have enough resources to promote the kingdom. Let that be the call. Paul said, to live is Christ. Let that be. If you are still saying, well, the reason why I want to be a medical doctor, I want to be this, so that I will be the best in my family. See, you've already, you are planning your own depression for ongoing. Anything canna. When you is self-glory. Am I saying you should not be a medical doctor? I'm a medical doctor. I'm planning to do my PhD. Are you going to plan to say, yeah, I will do it. I will do it. Whatever you do, why do you need to do? Why are you doing business? Of course, God wants you to do business when you have money, you take care of yourself so that you can as well promote the gospel. We are talking today. During the week, we started, we gave, there's one of our Georgian folks. We made a, okay, I'm trying not to, you know, loud that part well. So that we are visiting a lot of poor citizens. And there is one now currently that we are going to renovate his apartment. It's a small cubicle. It's not as big as this place. There's no heater there, everything. It's like, but we want to renovate it. We want to give this. We are paying some people's school fees. We are paying some people, Georgians. And you know, listen. You know, international and Georgia is not the same school fees. You know what I'm talking about here. And God will bless us so that we'll be able to even do for international and local in the name of Jesus. Isn't that good? It's good. But for you to be able to do that, you need to be blessed. You need to work, do business, so that you have enough to bless people. Let me tell you this, whether you like it or not, if I come to church and I say, well, how many of you, and we decide to pay people, 10, 20 people, 100 people school fees, $60,000, 100 people, how much is that? $600,000. No, I don't have that. No, I'm saying, if we decide to do that, there are a lot of people that will be around to hear God's word. Am I lying? There will be a lot of people to hear God's word. And when they hear God's word, will they not be saved? All these things, are you not being fed well with this word? So we want many more people to hear it. You, for example, is not because of school fees is paid. You have come to hear God. There are many people that are in that situation. So God will bless you. So that you'll be able to bless others. You know what I'm trying to say? This is the point. Set Christ as the center of your ambition. Build everything around Christ. Somebody is asking me, Pastor, how do you do it? You know, you are, you know, pastor, business, this, family. How are you doing all these things? It's not difficult for me. I will repeat again here. It's not difficult for me. I did not build everything around school. I did not build everything around business. I built everything around Christ. The school is for Christ. Business is for Christ. When I mean Christ, I'm not saying church. I'm saying Christ. Amen. Of course, church is in Christ. Did you get what I'm trying to say here? You will run into depression and you keep having problems if you build your life outside of Christ. That's the way people don't guide their mind. The way you guide your mind is to take Christ's word, put it to your mind, and run with it. In other words, when you get, for example, when you get disappointed by earthly, you go for one job interview and they disappoint you. We'll find another one. You move. I'm telling you, that's why I was telling us about Joseph. Is it Isaac or Jacob? That dog well. Jacob. It was Jacob. Yeah. He dug first well. They collected it. He dug another one. They collected it. It is well with your soul. He did not dig the first one. After taking it, hey, this is my life now. I think I will kill myself. You know, I'm serious. People decide to kill themselves because they didn't collect pocket money. I'm serious. People have, it's the devil. We think about that boy in a way to that person's experience is legitimate. People are going through things. But I'm saying that Christ is the solution. That's my point. People, somebody break your heart, you say you kill yourself. I told us, as I've told you before, I told you. I know, I will never watch match. I told us before. It's for me, I will never. Are you what I'm trying to say here? Did you get something today?
Yes.
I hope you have fed well today.
Yes,
please run with this. Run with this. Amen. Say,
I'm
going to
run with it.
Say, I've got a sound mind.
In the name of Jesus.
Say, I've got a sound mind.
In the name of Jesus.
Say, I rule and reign in life.
In the name of Jesus.
Say, I have the mind of Christ.
Say, I have the mind of Christ.
I have the mind of Christ.
And I hold the thought of his feelings.
His thoughts for me are peace.
His thoughts for me are joy.
I'm ruling and reigning.
In the name of Jesus.
Say, I am a man in Christ.
Say, I am created in Christ.
Say, Christ is my life.
The Bible says, when Christ, who is your life, shall appear.
Say, Christ is my life.
You make Christ your life.
Say, Christ is my life.
Say, my going out is for Christ.
My coming in is for Christ.
Say, I live for Christ.
Say, I study for Christ.
I do business for Christ.
I live for Christ.
Say, my life is Christocentric.
Say, my life is Christocentric.
My going out is for Christ.
My coming in is for Christ.
My social media space is for Christ.
My dressing is for Christ.
My thinking is Christ.
That's the way to win.
That's the way to win.
That's the way to win daily.
That's the way to win. You can pray in the Holy Ghost. 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 Pray in the Holy Ghost.